Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our Savior who tells us, I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand who cares nothing for the sheep. I am the Good Shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. Brothers and sisters, and what a charge that was. The Father said, do this. And the Son said, yes, Father. And now we beg the Son would do this. Like a shepherd, lead us. Lead us in one flock, with one shepherd, one God and Father, one Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, one baptism for the remission of sins. Yes, God is one, and he desires his church, his people, purchased by the death of the shepherd, to be one flock. And we can give thanks in that. The audience that Jesus spoke to heard these words differently than we do in some ways, yet the same also. Because they were the insiders. They were the people who, as Paul would later say, had all the commandments, they had the promises, they had everything that God had given to Moses, they had the prophecies of Messiah, and they were the people of whom he would be born. They were the children of Abraham, living under the promises that God had given to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and that he had renewed throughout Israel's history. The other sheep were the folks who weren't the Israelites, who were not the Jews, who were not the people of the covenant promises. Because as Jesus established a new covenant, a new testament in his blood, so also then he reached out to new sheep. Because Israel was not the only flock that was wandering, certainly those on the other side of the Mediterranean, those down farther into Africa, back east into Asia, in the places that those of Israel had some knowledge, they knew that those were not of God's people. They were the Gentiles, the Goyim, the outsiders. They probably, at least the more learned or more traveled of that day, perhaps ran across one of your grandparents. That was trade through the continent and up to the British Isles a long time before you really learned about it in your history books. But they were trading in things with people who were not them, who were not really people in their eyes, because they didn't have the covenant and the promises and Moses and the prophets. But now we have those things. Because we know this shepherd who laid down his life, that he might purchase and win not only Israel, which had strayed away, but also the other sheep, you and me. And that puts us then on sort of the same level as Jesus' original audience. We are not the other sheep that Jesus was talking about then, because now we are of the flock. Now we are the ones on the inside. We are not Jews or Israelites according to the flesh, but we are according to the promise. In Romans, Paul, as he laments how far Israel has fallen away from God, reminds those who are paying attention to him, both Jew and Greek and Roman, that they were all the children of Abraham by the promise. That they were all the children of Abraham because Jesus came from the seed of Abraham. And so we look outside of ourselves and say, well, they're not like this. Even as this passage is a comfort and a joy for all of us, because we know, and God knows how many times some of you have heard it, we know that Jesus suffered and died on the cross for each one of us. But we need that reminder each and every week because our sins keep coming back to life and they need to be put to death by our living Savior Jesus Christ. They need to be dragged back kicking and screaming to the font to be drowned to die along with all sins and evil desires. We know that. And we know where the power and the grace and the love and the kindness flow from and to whom they flow. That would be us. Thank you very much, God. But sometimes we forget or intentionally withhold that love that God wants for all people, for the other sheep. Because while we are now of the flock, we know that there are still people who do not know Jesus. Why do we send money to support missionaries overseas? Why do we continue to send evangelists into the city to plant new churches in new neighborhoods? Why? Because those sheep also need to hear the shepherd's voice. Because without him, they will be judged on the side that Jesus says, "Depart from me, you who are cursed." Because when the shepherd returns, he will cleanly divide the believers from the unbelievers. Those who hung around and wore the name and those who actually displayed the love that John wrote about in his epistle. Those who heard the name of Jesus and bowed their heads in faith are separated from those who do not know him, who reject him, who deny him. And it's not our word to keep for ourselves. This shepherd, this blessed Jesus, who still leads us, wants to lead your neighbor. He wants to lead your child, your parent, your brother or your sister, your cousin, your aunt, your uncle, your next door neighbor, your friend at coffee. Almost every person here knows at least one person who is not of the flock, who may be a Christian in name only, or who may not really be anything at all. And we can conveniently ignore that because we want them to remain friends with us. We want to keep peace in the family. But when we do so, we deny what Jesus wants. Why Jesus came. He gave up his life not only for the lost sheep of Israel, but not only for us who would be lost sheep still if he did not come to us, but for those who are still lost. And we are guilty of their death if we do not do what we can to tell them of the shepherd who also loves them, who also cares for them, who also died for them. Because Jesus did not come so that we could have a flock of Jewish Christians and a flock of German Christians and a flock of English Christians and Nigerian and Kenyan and Brazilian. No, he came so that there would be one flock. So no matter what language, they would all hear his words with one united voice. Jesus Christ and him crucified. The one who extends his arms and says, look at the damage that they did to me so that I could rescue you. Look upon the one who gladly gave up his life for you and then on the third day took it back up again because it was time to get on with my everlasting eternal life. And the Lord wants us to be joined together not only by saying, I'm a Christian in whatever language we live and breathe, but to live like one, and to invite like one, to bring those who have stepped out of the flock that they once knew, or those who were never in the flock, to know the good shepherd who suffered and died for us. Because if it doesn't make any difference whether or not your friend, your neighbor, your brother, your sister, your mother, your father, your child, or whomever else goes to heaven or hell, then why are you here today? Because if it doesn't make any difference whether they do, then why should it make any difference if you do? Because we are one. We are one sinful humanity. And now, those of us here, we pray, are all truly of the flock, with one shepherd, with one Lord God, Heavenly Father, united by one baptism, clinging to one hope. But if we do not want others to be of this one, then we are not truly of this one either. We're separatists. We're individualists. We are something besides the sheep that God brought us into the flock to be. We've forgotten how the shepherd took us up in his arms or threw us up over his shoulders and carried us back into the flock. Not only in baptism, but all the other times that we stray. All the other lies and cheats and other thefts, denials and hatreds, which are murders that we committed throughout our days. And still the shepherd goes out and brings us back by his grace, by his promise, so that we may be safe in the one flock, under the one good shepherd. And God forgive each and every one of us who has either lazily or greedily or out of fear of something happening, of losing a friend, of losing a family member, have not given voice and life to the very fact that Jesus suffered and died not only for us, but also for our neighbor. And God does have mercy on us sinners. Jesus did suffer and die, not only to bring us back once, but to roll up his sleeves, to hike up his robe, and to go out and get us again and again and again. To love us and forgive us constantly, as he bids us do. To call us back time after time after time. He's not worried about what we feel about him. He is concerned that we trust in him, that we know and that we have faith. Even if we are mad at God, that we believe in the suffering and death of Jesus. Even if we blame God for the death of loved ones, that we still cling to the hope that our loved ones, along with us, will be raised up on the last day, and we will all live together under this shepherd eternally. And if that really does make a difference, if this sacrifice on the cross truly was on our behalf, then, and you can fill in the then, because those ifs are certain, our Savior does lead us. The prayer we prayed in this children's hymn from years and years ago is a prayer that Jesus gladly and willingly answers. Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Much we need your tender care. But so does every other lamb born on this earth. In your pleasant pastures, feed us. For our use, your fold prepare. We're asking him to do just what he said he was going to do. I go to prepare a place for you. The final sheepfold is the eternity that we will spend with our God and Father under his beloved Son. We are yours. In love befriend us. Be the guardian of our way. Keep your flock from sin. Defend us. Seek us when we go astray. Why bother asking if we're not going to take advantage of it? Why ask him to lead us if we're not going to follow? Why ask for his forgiveness if we're going to persist stubbornly in the same sins of neglecting the love of God in Christ Jesus for those who still do not know him? Because, as we tell him, you have promised to receive us, poor and sinful though we be. You have mercy to relieve us, grace to cleanse, and power to free. Is that only for you and me? For the people who are gathered here, for the people who call themselves Lutheran, for the people who call themselves Christian? Of course not. Because even as we pray seemingly selfishly just for us Christians, we also extend this prayer for those who don't know how to pray it, who don't know to whom to pray, so that someday they will, whether it's by our words, by the example we set, or by the offerings that we give to support missionaries and evangelists. Early, let us seek your favor. Not just early in the morning, but early in everything. Don't wait around until the last minute we're praying. Don't wait until we hear that trumpet call to say, wait, I do believe. And to start living and acting like it, even as Jesus comes down with the angels. But right now, constantly, every time we think about Jesus, to think, let me do these things, Lord Jesus, who did these things for me. Early, let us seek your favor. Early, let us do your will. Blessed Lord and only Savior, with your love our spirits fill. Because if you mean that prayer when you would pray it, he will do that. And that love has to overflow. It can't be dammed up and bottled up inside of us. If you want Christ to fill you with his love, then he will top you off. And it will run out to those around you. And even if you try to hold it back, you will practically explode. So if you meant this prayer, if you truly ask God to love you as he says he will love you, then he is going to move you to love your neighbor, your brother, your sister, your mother, your father, your child, your friend, your aunt, your uncle, and whomever else does not know his son Jesus. And you, whether you want to or not, whether you're willing or not, whether you're a Jonah saying, what, who, me? Or the eager one like Samuel, here I am, Lord, or anything in between. He will use you, and he will use you with care, and he will use you to show just how much he loves not only you, but those around you. And you will be the Bible that people read. You will be the gospel that he speaks and loves. Even if they don't pick up God's book, they will read, Jesus loves you on everything that you have said and everything that you have done. God grant that just as the Good Shepherd has led you into his flock, he will lead you out among those who are still lost, that through you, through me, through our brother and sister Christians throughout the world, they might hear their shepherd's voice, and that they might join us as one flock under one Good Shepherd. In the name of Jesus our Savior, amen. The peace that surpasses understanding keep you steadfast in this same Christ Jesus, through life everlasting. Amen.